Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.
Thank you for this introduction. We will discuss some results we have recently obtained on fluorescence of linens by using lasers. These are the names of people who gave a contribution to this work. Some of the results I will present now have been published in the March issue of Applied Optics, so we can refer for further details on the paper. This is the outline of the talk. It's divided in four parts, and at the beginning, I will discuss the interaction of laser photons with textiles. To discuss this interaction, we must get into molecular details of textiles. And here we see that most vegetable textiles are basically made by cellulose. And this is the chemical structure of cellulose, which is basically made by a chain made by, say, 1,000 or 2,000. By 1,000 or 2,000 of this structure. And this means that if a photon can break this part, which is basically carbohydrate, you obtain sugar, you obtain glucose. The studies of the interaction of cellulose with ultraviolet photons started very early, in the 70s, between 70 and 60 and 70s. And mainly, these studies were devoted to understand why book papers, were becoming yellow when exposed to sunlight. And the main process of interaction of ultraviolet photons with the cellulose is photolysis. Photolysis is a process by which molecules are broken into smaller units due to the absorption of the photons of light. Here are some details. This is a short summary of these studies. The strongest absorption is for photons having a wavelength shorter than 200 nanometer. Aldehyde groups and ketonic carbonyl are the main responsible for absorption. And the macroscopic effect may be bleaching or yellowing. But the most important point to be underlined is that ultraviolet photons, especially those having a wavelength shorter than 300-350 nanometers, interact with the matter in a cold way. That means without important heating effect, on the contrary of infrared. That is, the ultraviolet photon break directly chemical bonds without dissipating heat. Actually, it may be that there are some second-order effects with heating, but they become less and less important as the photon wavelength decreases. The condition for a photon to break a chemical bond is that the energy of the single photons, note that the energy is inversely proportional to the wavelength, is larger than the chemical bond energy. Here are some examples. For example, we used the 308 nanometers that corresponds to 4 electron volt of energy, and they are able to break single carbon-carbon bonds which have a bonding energy of 3.6 electron volt. When I move to 193 nanometer photons, that is 6.4 electron volts, they are able to break carbon-hydrogen bonds, which have bonding energy between 4 and 4.5, and oxygen-hydrogen bonds. The second part is about the setup we have used for irradiating linens. This is the experimental setup. There is a laser. The laser beam in part is intercepted to monitor the fluctuations between shots, the energy, and so on. The most part of the beam impinges on a lens and is focused on the sample. And in order to change the fluence, that is the energy density, that is the number of photons per unit area, we move the target along the optical axis. And when the target is closer to the focal plane, the energy density is maximum. When moving toward the lens, the energy density becomes smaller. I mean, it's clear the total photons are the same. What changes the area where photons are focused. This is a photograph of the experimental setup. We actually used two different lasers. One is Hercules, is a homemade excimer laser, and the other is a commercial laser. Excimer laser emit pulsed light, that is, photons are in bursts, and each burst has a given energy, 6 joule in this case, and 0.5 joule in this case, have a given pulse duration, 120 nanoseconds with this laser and 30 nanoseconds with this laser, and a time interval between shots, repetition rate, for example, 5 shots per second or 50 shots per second. And of course, a wavelength, 308 in this case, 308 or 193 nanometer in this case. I remind you that 1 nanosecond is 10 to minus 9 seconds. That is 1 billionth of second. Is a duration which is also difficult to be imaged. Here are some details on the linens we have used. We will call X and Y. They are different linen. One is brown, raw linen. The other is white, is a white linen. This is the absolute reflect, the spectrum of absolute reflectance we have measured of the two linens. They look much different, probably because in the case of linen X, there are some brighteners that have been used to make it white. On the contrary, linen Y is without any treatment. And here is shown the reflectance as measured by Gilbert during the as a part of the Shroud of Turin research project on the shroud. And you see that there is an almost perfect overlap of the reflectance with respect to the linen Y. Experimental results. We started to irradiate the linen with a long pulse width laser, that is with a 120 nanosecond laser. And we obtain any result, I mean, no coloration. We tried many different working points, but the results were absolutely negative, except in one case when we have observed, but only at the microscope, not from a microscopic point of view, a dozen of threads colored brown sugar light. And then we changed what's the point? We changed the laser system. We used the shorter pulse width, the 30 nanosecond laser, delivering the same number of photons like before. In the case we were able to color the dozen strand of linen, that is we deliver the same number of photons, but in a time 3.6 times shorter. 3.6 is the ratio of the pulse width of the first laser with the second laser. And in this case, you will see we obtained a macroscopic coloration of linens. I'm sorry, I don't have the skill of Barry Schwartz. The real linen look a little different, but I have here some sample for people interested to see how they look really. This is a microscope image of the same linen Y of the previous slides, and you see there is some morphological change on the threads that is not very important, but anyway, there are some change. This is a summary of experimental results as a function of intensity, laser intensity, and of laser pulse width. We have only two laser pulse width, 30 nanoseconds here and 120 nanoseconds here. And you see we can draw a line which separates this graph in two regions. One is the so-called ablation region, that is a region where the laser intensity is too high. So we obtain some damage of the linen. And the second region here, in which you may obtain a macroscopic coloration. This is a summary from a different point of view. This is an histogram which shows the coloration of linen in arbitrary units here as a function of the number of shots and, in bracket, the repetition rate. And the two vertical lines divide the histogram in three regions: low intensity region, medium intensity region, high intensity region. And the horizontal line is a boundary between damage region and coloration region, or no results region, that is the smallest one. Here is clear the threshold effect. The linen Y exposed to 50 shots at 50 Hz is not colored when using a low intensity laser, and it is burned here when it is irradiated the same number of shots, same repetition rate at high intensity. Also, it's possible to see there are some cumulative effect. For example, both linen here are almost not colored, irradiating with 100 shots at medium intensity, but the 100 shots are delivered in two bursts, 50, pause, and then another 50. On the contrary, 100 consecutive shots can color the linen for the same repetition rate, the same laser intensity. What about the coloration depth? These are a single thread of linen, Y and X. And you see that the thread are colored only where exposed to laser light, and not in the region that are covered by another thread. This means ultraviolet light cannot pass through the single thread of linen. And here is a cross-section of linen X. You may see that there is almost 25% of fibrils that are colored. Sorry. That are colored in the cross-section of the thread. It is, of course, too much for our purpose, but we will see how we can improve this result. Here are the results of the birefringence measurement. This is a fiber of linen X. Here is a not irradiated region. Here is the irradiated region. This part is enlarged here, and this part is enlarged here. The irradiated part shows the typical kink band and birefringence at the location of defects. as expected after the interaction of UV light with the fiber. Then we have tried, we have cut half of linen irradiated below threshold, that is with an intense laser intensity which is not sufficient to give macroscopic coloration. And this part was heated 15 seconds at 190 degrees Celsius, and after heating it appears a color corresponding to the laser spot. In practice, heating produces dehydration that simulates aging and colors the fiber which were prepared by the laser pulse. But the most interesting point is the same sample 1 year later. You see that even the not heated part shows now the color. So the UV photons, in practice, have broken some chemical bonds, inducing a slow dehydration, and then coloring after a relatively long time. And to our knowledge, this is the first direct evidence of latent image in linen after laser irradiation. Then we move to a different wavelength, to a shorter wavelength. Basically to improve the depth of coloration, because you know that the shorter the wavelength, the shorter is the penetration depth in any material. And here we have faced a new effect, that is in the same laser spot, we have the presence of all the three possible effects, ablation, bleaching, and coloration. How is it possible? Here is some isolines of the intensity of the laser spot. So in the central part, which is the more intense part of the laser, we have ablation. When the intensity is decreasing, at a given point, we obtain a bleaching, and with the further decreasing, we obtain a coloration. So the main problem is that the laser spot has not a uniform spatial distribution of photons, but this is the same not homogeneous spatial distribution we have used for the radiation at 308 nanometer. That means in this case the working point, the optimum working point, is much narrower than before. It's much more difficult to find the optimum working point. Here is the same effect in a much shorter scale. This is a fiber of linen, and you see here we have a region with heavy ablation, another region with ablation, then there is a coloration, surface coloration, and then there is some kink bands that are evidenced only in cross polarization and are, of course, not visible for normal illumination. And finally, there is the not affected zone. Here there is a comparison of the coloration depth between the photons at 193 nanometer and the photons at 308 nanometer we have seen before. And you see that the improvement is impressive. Here we have about 5% of the diameter. Here we have about 25% of the diameter. So here we are at about 20 micron penetration depth, and here we are at about 80 micron penetration depth. So in this case, we obtain a really very, very thin coloration. We are going to the end. Just to summarize, we have shown that a nanosecond pulse duration ultraviolet laser beam can color a very thin depth of the surface of linen. The coloration is permanent. after many years, they are still colored. And it can be achieved in a very, very narrow range of photon parameters. And this is absolutely an unusual situation with respect to the common rules of laser coloration of textiles. We have shown that the shorter the wavelength of the laser and the thinner the color depth, but at the same time, the narrower the range of suitable laser parameters. We have obtained some latent image that appear 1 year after laser radiation that at first did not generate a clear image. So these are some conclusions that mainly comment the fact that our results shows that in principle a short directional burst of ultraviolet light may have played a role in the coloration of the shroud. These results are compatible with the two hypotheses of image formation that have been formulated in the past. One is based on radiation in the ultraviolet spectral region. The other is ultraviolet photons generated by corona effect. But we have to point out that in any case, the total UV radiation power that is required to image the whole body is an impressive number. It's here. It's 2.7 times 10 to the 11 watt. And I can tell you that it doesn't exist any laser in this world that is able to deliver such high intensity, or, say, an electrostatic generator for the corona discharge. I would like to finish with paying a tribute to the Pope, John Paul, for his comment on the shroud that was made in 1998. Thank you very much for your attention.
Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.